City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It's a Bismarck City Current. So Jason Tomonic is here from the City of Bismarck.
Hi, Mary. How are you today?
And I'm doing well, Jason. Thank you for being here. It is Wednesday morning. Typically, we're on a Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. It's Wednesday, June 13th, and we're in the studios at Dakota Media Access. So we'll start with the big news, and that was the elections for the city last night. Cities of Bismarck and Mandan, and of course the Park District and the school board and the primary for the county. So not a great turnout in our communities, but kind of on average, you think, what we hear from the numbers. So we have a new mayor.
We
have a new mayor. We have one new city commissioner coming on board, Greg Zenker.
Yep.
Our new mayor is
Steve Bakken.
Mm-hmm. And Nancy Guy keeps her seat on the city commission. So it'll be a different mix. And Jason, how does that work? Where are we at with the transition of the old commission
and then
the new?
Sure. The next meeting will be June 26th. That's our regularly scheduled meeting, our fourth Tuesday of every month. What will happen is the current commission with Mayor Seminary, Commissioner Askvig, Marquardt, Oban, and Guy will convene a meeting. Their sole purpose will be to canvass the ballots that were cast yesterday, essentially signing off and saying, yep, these are the official counts. That meeting will then end, and then the new mayor and the new commissioner will be sworn in by our city attorney, and the new commission, as we know it, will take off from there. So they'll hit the ground running in 2 weeks.
Okay. New commissioner, new mayor, new city attorney to swear
new
them
city
in.
Attorney, so all sorts of changes.
Lots of change.
Definitely.
Well, you're used to that. It's constant change. Park District elected three new park commissioners. One was an incumbent.
Right.
Julie Jeske was back in there. Mike Gilbertson and Mark Zimmerman.
Yep.
Comes back to the park board.
He was two familiar faces and a returning commissioner for the park district as well.
And then the school board. They had 10 candidates.
Lots of choices. There.
For the three seats, so and all three incumbents are coming back to the school board, so not a lot of change there.
John Lee, Carl Lemke, who I believe is their board president right now, and I've just lost it all of a sudden.
Sagsby.
Matt Sagsby, thank you.
There you go.
So many names, so many spots.
And then the county, Burley County Commission and Sheriff and all of those races, it was a primary yesterday. Yep. So they'll move on with a few less candidates for commissioner. Mm-hmm. We went from eight to two,
six. Eight to six for counties. So
there'll
be six names for
three seats
on the county commission. That vote, of course, will be at the November general election.
Right. Yep. So lots going on there. And then Mandan as well had some changes, and we'll talk about that next week with Jim Neubauer when he comes and visits. But yeah, it's over. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. We can move on. And I'm sure from a city staff standpoint, now we know, and we'll move on and transition as necessary.
Absolutely.
So. Moving on the agenda from last night, a couple things. One thing was on the consent agenda, and Commissioner Oban pulled it off just for a quick discussion, and that was the acceptance of a contract, approval of a contract to move forward with strategic planning initiative.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So this is something we've talked about a few times. The city of Bismarck completed its last strategic plan in 2012. And I think that was part of Commissioner Oban's message last night was to tip his hat and thank Commissioner Askvig for helping kick that off. Of course, with Commissioner Askvig moving on, Commissioner Oban has stepped up and he will lead us through the process of strategic planning. We expect this to take, you know, at least 6-7 months. Maybe by the end of the year, early next year, we should have things wrapped up. But Commissioner Oban just took that opportunity to say thanks for all the work that's done and then look forward for all the opportunities to get engaged as we go forward.
Yeah, we have talked about it before.
Yes.
And he did also, Commissioner Oban also listed all the department heads primarily that will be working on this. So it will have input from engineering, from planning, from administration.
Counting Commissioner Oban, there will be 11 city staff
driving this
on the project team. And of course, we'll be looking for input throughout this entire process, not just from city staff, but also very much from the public as well. So if we can kind of keep that one coming back here, I think that would be great to keep people up to date of when their opportunities are to become engaged as we move forward.
So the contract was approved last night.
Right.
So this process will start immediately?
Yeah, I actually sent an email to the individual with the consulting firm that we're going to be working with. I just sent him one right before I came over here today. So we want to get this thing moving forward and get things kicked off.
All right. You'll bring it back to us.
We sure will.
All right. Then moving on the regular agenda last night, approval of a couple liquor licenses that were introduced at a previous meeting and now last night were finalized.
Right. So for anybody that's interested, Country House Deli on East Interstate Avenue and Terra Nomad downtown both got approval of their applications for beer and wine licenses.
Okay. That's an I-2 license.
I-2 license.
Right?
That's right. You're getting it. You're getting it.
I'm learning. And related to this is what wasn't on the agenda last night, but I think we want to talk about it a little bit in, because it's on city property, is the groundbreaking that happened for Heritage Landing, which is the former Meriwether's location where
Port of Bismarck
was.
Centennial Beach was part of that at one time. So.
And this is being driven by the Fort Lincoln Foundation.
Right.
They've done the fundraising. It's privately funded through that organization. And they had their groundbreaking last week.
Friday at noon.
Yep. Friday at noon.
Yeah, so good turnout. They had some renderings of what the building will look like. They had some nice words from some of their chair people, former General David Sprinsonatic, former Mayor John Warford, Dr. John Warford, Mayor Seminary was there. Good turnout.
Nice.
And it's exciting. I heard a lot of positive comments. I think people are really excited to see this piece of the riverfront be reactivated.
Right.
And of course, the city's role in this is we own the land, just a small little piece of land right there for this to happen. So we are essentially the landowner and they will be our tenant.
Well, and the reason it relates to the commission meeting last night is Terra Nomad is the connection here with their beer and wine license being approved. Terra Nomad is also going to be the vendor down in this building for food.
Right.
And operating a restaurant
catering
out of this.
And restaurant services right there. Mm-hmm. So a nice complimentary feature for the site, for Fort Abraham Lincoln Foundation, for guests that are looking for an attraction. It'll be
people
a nice
using
place.
The riverboat will be able to access this building for food, refreshments, drinks, whatever.
Yep. And it's my understanding the building will be available for all sorts of things, not just riverboat activities, but it'll become another event space.
And year-round.
Right.
Which is really nice. We don't often get a lot of access down to the riverfront during the winter months.
Right.
Not that we necessarily want to, but that'll be a nice opportunity. I think everybody who remembers Meriwether's, you know, misses it because it was a unique location and it was one of those places you could say, hey, let's go down to Meriwether's tonight. Let's just go sit down there. It was such a unique spot and they did a nice job with the food and it was just the atmosphere and being able to sit aside the Missouri and, you know, the fact that it was washed away in 2011 was a bit of a sad deal.
It was
a sad deal. So
it certainly was.
So now this is a resurrection and a much nicer facility,
brand new
building.
And to your point about the old Meriwether site being lost in the flood, this building will be done much differently in that there are the recognition of the floodplain and the floodway. So there are a lot of enhanced features that make this building more viable because it will be out of the floodway. And that's something that is a requirement of FEMA, Corps of Engineers. We certainly can't impede the river flow. So what will be happening here will be complementary to what nature wants to do.
Yeah. So built in a more sturdy manner.
Right.
To
withstand I believe there's some
the
pilings
floods.
And some piers that'll go into the ground to help elevate that building above that flood stage.
Makes sense. So. And don't you have a bit of a history in Meriwether's?
I spent 5.5 years at Meriwether's.
You did?
My very first job when I was 15, I started washing dishes there.
Oh my gosh.
So
there's a place.
There's a place in my
heart
for this space. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see something.
Something
that
is fun. Nice. And no small task to raise this kind of money for Fort Lincoln Foundation. And they are still looking to raise funds. You can go on their website.
Right.
Just Fort Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln Foundation.org. And I'm sure there's a spot in there you can find if you want to contribute to the project.
Definitely.
Yeah. And Estimated time of completion? Are we looking at?
I believe they're hoping to get started very soon.
Okay.
My understanding is the building is being assembled off-site, or it's being constructed off-site. It will be brought in and then put together. The building is very characteristic of what you would expect to see back in the early days of riverfront warehouses. So my understanding is I believe the delivery is set for sometime midsummer. So probably completion of next year, 19,
okay.
Be full completion.
Nice. This time next year, we could be going down there after work.
Could have a whole different scene.
Absolutely. Going back to the agenda last night, there was a downtown zoning text amendment, some changes made to the downtown zoning
right.
district.
Right, yeah. So Title 14 is, or Chapter 14, that's the section of our city code, our city ordinances that applies to downtown or to zoning in general. Within the zoning code, there's a portion for downtown. And what it had before, what has changed, there was a different review process for new signs downtown. And mm-hmm. that was a process that had been tweaked recently. It involved the Renaissance Zone Authority having an oversight of all the proposed signage downtown. I think what has changed or what has transpired here is that staff now has the authority or the ability to take the first look at these signs, and if they meet the criteria, fall within the regulations of the ordinance, then staff can approve the signs without having to have that extra layer of review, which for most folks, if you're interested in signage, if you're a sign manufacturer, that adds time. And as we know, time is money. So the intent here is to help quicken the process for new signs to go through the review.
Stuff that meets the criteria
right.
already.
Yeah.
It was an unnecessary step going through.
Right. Now, if there's a sign that is maybe a little outside the boundaries of the regulation, staff still has the ability to take that to the Renaissance Zone Authority for their review.
Mm-hmm.
But the intent here is to help shorten the process and have a quicker turnaround.
More efficient.
Yep.
That makes sense. Also on the regular agenda last night is something that we've kind of prefaced before as well, and that is the cable franchise contract mm-hmm. For the city, and it's also included the city of Mandan as well. We have a mirror document
right.
going to be presented next week at their commission meeting. It was an ordinance that first was developed and then a franchise contract mm-hmm. with the cable provider. Those two work hand in hand and are fairly similar documents.
Right.
But as I think it's important, and it's certainly close to what we do here mm-hmm. at Dakota Media Access. First of all, I want to say thank you for including us
in this
process, because again, it's important to us what happens with the cable franchise in the community. We kind of consider ourselves, we consider Mid-Continent or our cable provider our birth parent in that respect, and that's the way we started 35, 37 years ago. Community Access Television at the time just started as a cable channel, a mm-hmm. single cable channel that operated from 5 in the afternoon till I think 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, we've changed. Mm-hmm. We've changed with the times, and Mid-Continent our cable provider, now Mid-Continent, mm-hmm. has always been a part of that and helped us along the way. And, so it's important that we keep those lines of communication open. And I appreciate the fact that the city's recognized our place at the table.
Yeah.
And regardless of the distribution of what we do, of the content that we mm-hmm. create, whether it's a cable or it's online or it's now through radio broadcast mm-hmm. as well, it's about distributing that right. content in any way. So Mid-Continent remains a partner in all this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a good process. I think we gained some nice things. We have a channel that could be launched. Another channel could be launched in the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. Other details that came through that we were able to iron out. Mm-hmm. And all of it's pretty positive.
Yeah. And as I mentioned last night, as quickly as technology is changing, I think there were some appropriate modifications based mm-hmm. on the services that are available, some of the broadband bandwidths and things like this. So I think it's also important to mention for the consumer, there won't be any changes.
No.
We're not talking about, you know, large wholesale changes to the way services are delivered by Midco. People will still have all the same channels, everything else. It just really solidifies the partnership for the next 10 years.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I think it's important to mention, too, that Mid-Continent is a rare company amongst cable operators in this.
Pretty big giants out there in
the cable world. I backtrack a little bit and just mention also, I think it's important that people in the community understand this is not an exclusive agreement. Mm-hmm. This is not a monopoly that right. Mid-Continent has in this community. There is no such thing. So mm-hmm. if another cable operator wants to come into the community, they can. What the ordinance does is that determines that any other cable operator has to come in within those conditions of the ordinance.
So it has to be
the same. It has to be a level playing field. And that makes sense for both our current operator and any new operators that might come in. So that's first and foremost that people should understand. It is not an exclusive contract. Right. It is not a monopoly in this community. And quite honestly, I think that we kind of should thank Mid-Continent mm-hmm. that we have them in this community. Right. We could have been negotiating this with Comcast, mm-hmm. Time Warner, Charter, some of these large companies that provide cable services across the country, and they are not necessarily as cooperative mm-hmm. or as community-minded.
Community-minded, that's the word I was thinking
of,
too.
As Mid-Continent yep. Communications, they are in yeah. this area. Now, granted, they're not perfect with this many outlets and cable operations and all the things that they do and hundreds of employees, probably mm-hmm. thousands in the region. They're not perfect.
Right.
They have their issues, but I think, again, we need to be thankful that this is the operator we're dealing with mm-hmm. because they are much more committed to our community than most. I have the opportunity to work with hundreds of community media operations across the country, and I listen to their stories and their negotiations and franchise negotiations, and they're harrowing stories.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
There's a group out of Minneapolis, the Twin Cities suburb area, that just got done with a Comcast contract, and it took 7 years.
Oh, boy.
You know, we look at 6 months, 8 months yeah. to go through the process, and that's we're fortunate.
Right.
So,
and the staff at Midco, the folks that we dealt with, I would say were very professional, very accommodating. Mm-hmm. I think we worked well together. Personally, being involved in this process, I like collaboration. I like that the city of Mandan was part of this. I
yes.
like that we had commissioners involved. I'm very grateful that we're able to have such an open dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, it all comes down to the right thing for the community. We're trying to help
Absolutely.
Provide the best service
yeah.
for our community. The city's portion of that is by having public right-of-way for utilities and cable lines and things like this.
Yeah.
So that's just a small part of what we're trying to do here. But I think in the end, it's all about the community.
It is, and it's relationships in the community, and they have been good to us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as I talk to people around the country, they're amazed that, you know, four almost 5 years ago, we had an HD channel, a mm-hmm. high definition. How did you have that? Well, we asked for it.
Right.
It wasn't in your contract? No, we asked them, mm-hmm. and they provided
that.
They
accommodated it.
We've yep. had technical issues in our facility that our staff is great, and they've tried to troubleshoot a problem mm-hmm. or a technical problem, and we talked to Mid-Continent, and I remember a day when there were four engineers from Mid-Continent in our building trying to figure out a problem,
wow.
and they came, and they helped us, and they really are very supportive,
yeah,
especially in our local office, and they're a big employer in our community, mm-hmm. too, so... they're a great group to work with,
yeah.
and I think it's important that we mention that.
Yep, hats off to them.
Yeah,
and appreciate all their help and patience as we got through this.
Absolutely.
And so 10 years from now, we will probably have a totally different look with all the technology changes that we don't even know about yet, but for now, we're moving forward.
That's right, yeah. So, speaking of moving forward, there weren't a lot of other issues on the agenda.
We had
it was deliberately short
lightning
meeting.
Fast agenda last
right.
night. The intent was to, of course, have our regular meeting, but then also leave the room for the county auditor
yes.
and the voting staff to help do what they needed to do right. on the heels of yesterday's
City
election.
County building has one main meeting room,
one
and
big
it is
room,
used,
and it's used a lot.
Yes, used a lot, and especially on election night.
Right.
So those Tuesday nights where you are having a meeting on election night, mm-hmm. their agendas are deliberately short.
It's pretty swift.
Yeah. So. But we have a fun thing we can talk about that also happened last Friday,
mm-hmm.
and that was an art installation
yes.
down at the event center.
That's right.
It's beautiful. I did go down there too. It was fun to watch this piece of art come in, this lovely sculpture, a donation by Dr. Bradley King, a dentist in our community. So it was great. We have a little video that Ben is throwing up there right now. Sorry for the radio listeners, but it does show the process that it took to get the piece in place, a crane and a, you know.
Some steady hands.
Yes, and a pre-built pedestal,
I believe Missouri River Contracting helped with that, an in-kind donation as well. So certainly a nice compliment to the
event center,
to that plaza area. This may be the first of more. Who knows? We'll see. But I would encourage anybody that wasn't able to be there to wander down, take a look.
I think it's
fantastic.
I
believe the name of the sculpture is Red Grasses. It was done by an artist from the Sturgis, South Dakota area, Dale Lamphere, I believe, if I'm pronouncing his name right. And Dr. King, my understanding was Dr. King walked into Mr. Lamphere's studio and said, "I love it. I'll take it." And that's just great. And we're certainly very appreciative of Dr. King's contribution to our community. He said some really nice things at the dedication on Friday. And this is a timeless piece. This is something that's going to be here for a great long time. So thanks to all parties involved. I think this is spectacular. I think it's great to see public art in our community. And
more and more all the time, too. Yeah. And I think it we need to emphasize the fact that this did not cost the city any funds. This was a complete donation by Dr. King and, again, Missouri River
Contracting
did the pedestal, but Dr. King donated this piece. We focus on it because it went in front of a public building, and I think that's a great addition to our community. And we see this more and more. And I know Dakota West Arts Council helped facilitate all of this. Eileen Walsh down at Dakota West with Dr. King and the city and finding the placement and making all the connections. So Dakota West, we're getting more public wall art all the time. Art Wall downtown, Art Alley, the utility boxes. I believe there's a new project starting too, Poetry.
Yes, that's right.
There's going to be poetry boxes in some of the public parks.
That's my understanding, too. So keep an eye on that. We'll watch for that as that goes forward. That may not be as much of the city's involvement, because if we're talking parks, of course, that's a separate political subdivision. But I got to give Eileen a lot of credit. She works really hard to help make this community more culturally aware, more opportunities for local artists. I think it's just fantastic.
Absolutely. And on a very, very small budget. And they just kind of scrape by. And she's considered, I think, a part-time employee who does a lot of full-time work.
I think she works more than full-time.
But they do have, and they have a foundation set up now. I think it's capitalarts.org. Okay. Again, if people are interested in supporting public art, I think this would be a great way to do that, to make a contribution to this fund, which would go to these kinds of efforts in our community, and not just downtown.
Right.
A lot of them land in the downtown area because we're, you know, the core area is a concentration of business and people and all of that.
It's kind of the right canvas for some of these things. You wouldn't expect to see public art on a boulevard in front of someone's home.
Absolutely.
You put public art where the public can gather.
Yeah.
So downtown tends to be that place.
Or the parks.
Most commonly, or the parks. So, this is great. Just looking at these pictures as they scroll through here, I think... the pictures don't do the artwork justice. Definitely come down, take a look at it. I think this is
it's phenomenal. A substantial piece. Yeah, very nice gesture on behalf of Dr. King as well.
Definitely. So appreciate that.
Thank you, Dr. King. So that completes our list of items we were going to chat about today. So thanks for coming in, Jason.
My pleasure. Thanks
we'll
for having me.
We'll see you next time.
I'll be here.
All right, take care. And thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.